World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from one of our Canadian studios, here's Leon Fontaine.
Hey everybody, it is so good to have you with me. Today I want to share and talk about, I'm going to slow down a little bit. Sometimes people will say to me, you know, you bury so many thoughts into one message. And I love that because then someone who's a new Christian can just kind of quickly and in more of a shallow way go through it and learn. And then those who want to dive into God's word can grab the thoughts and the scriptures that I'll touch on. And then you can move deeper in that area. But today I want to try to slow down and just unpack something that the body of Christ has struggled with, and it is about your words. Years ago, there was a resurgence of faith teaching, and then the importance of the words that you speak. Now, every time something seems to be added to the body of Christ, or a teaching gets renewed or rises up in the world, we always have, for every mile of truth, we have 2 miles of ditch. For every mile of road, we got 2 miles of ditch. And so people will go on one side and just throw it out. What a joke. But it's not because they're looking at the word. They're looking at people in the other ditch who have taken a teaching way too far. If only one teaching would change your whole life, you wouldn't need the whole Bible. You could have one verse. And so we need to make sure that we are staying true to the doctrine of the word. Now, the word has a lot to say about your words. Now, I don't mean the words. And right now, I'm going to talk about the words that come out of your mouth. There are words in your mind, and there are words in your mouth. We can even take it a step further and say there are words that are in the deepest level of your thinking called your heart. And that's your literal autopilot. But the Bible teaches us that you can place somebody with their words. I'll give you an example. When David came to feed his brothers, where Goliath was screaming out, "Send someone to fight me." And David came in there and he was just, "What is going on? Is there not a cause?" And one of his brothers looks at him and says, "What are you doing here? Kind of get back to your sheep. Who do you think you are?" It just bothered his brother. He was insecure. He was a man who was insecure and therefore jealous. Jealousy comes out of insecurity. And so David's brother wasn't secure in God or in who he was. How about the 10 spies that came back when Moses sent 12 in, and 2 had their report, but the 10 agreed that it was a rich land. But then fear, their words were spoken. And these words were spoken to literally a million or two people. And their words were, "There are giants in the land." And then their words painted a picture. They said that we are like grasshoppers in their sight. Now that gives you an image of how big the giants were. And it was exaggerated. Okay, a grasshopper compared to me, I mean, like, is going to be the size of my thumb. And the giants weren't that much bigger than them, but on the inside of their imagination, they were. And these giants were unstoppable, unkillable. There was no way. And this is what came out of the 10 spies. So you can place what's in their heart by the words that they were speaking. David's brother was insecure and jealous, and these 10 spies are filled with fear, and they are doubting God. They are limiting God. Judas, the guy that traveled with Jesus, what did he constantly complain about? How they handled money. And Judas held the purse for Jesus, the bag of finances. He was kind of the accountant, the CFO of Jesus' ministry. And the word teaches us that this guy had a love for money, and his words, they placed him, that the money was more important than the purpose that Jesus was using it for. People's words place them. Gideon's words placed him when an angel came to him and said, "O mighty man of valor." And Gideon's response was, "I'm the lowest in my family, and my family is the lowest in the nation." And his actions also agreed with it. He was hiding himself away, trying to eke out a living, worried about being attacked. And so the words that people speak always place them. And sometimes we forget that. We'll hang out with somebody who is gossiping. And you ask yourself, why is this person, for example, always talking about someone else? I'll tell you why. Because somewhere inside of them is insecurity. Now, gossip is an insecure person minimizing another person to feel better about themselves. So if you've got friends in your life, your spouse, you, if you enjoy talking about somebody, and when you see a group of people talking about someone, you just love to dive in, and it's so interesting, and you can wash it off any way you want. But the second that someone begins to speak of another person that minimizes them, and you can say it's a prayer request, they're going through rough times, did you know? Oh, there's so many ways that gossip comes out, but gossip places a person. It says, you are insecure. All the great leaders I know, business, in church, in politics, their life is so filled with excitement and passion and direction as to where they're going to go, that when you want to sit down and talk about somebody, they literally will say, "That's my friend, I'm not talking about him." They've got the guts to speak up. Yet Christians are some of, well, the worst. Because it's like, well, you can't drink and you can't go out and party and commit adultery. So what's left? Eating and gossiping. And what I'm saying is, who do you allow into your circle, and what do they talk about? I would never allow David's brother to be my friend. What? What do you mean, Leon? Like, you can't decide. Oh, yes, I decide who my friends are. And the Bible says, don't allow people who doubt God, because the Bible says a heart of unbelief is evil. You've made a choice to believe what you think. You've elevated what you think over what God thinks. I would not allow David's brother that low self-worth. I mean, I don't mind teaching him as a mentor, as a teacher, but he's not going to be my friend. I would never allow the 10 spies to be my friend. It is too hard, just in life, I don't mean it as you can't, to keep believing God than to have 10 naysayers. Oh, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. In my world, I would never allow a Judas to be my friend, someone that loves money, because it doesn't matter what I did, I'd have to deal with his fear of what it will look like. And that's too much money. And oh, don't do that. And there are times you've got to get up and you've got to pay and you've got to give. And you can't just be allowing this tight, money-loving person to tell you what a waste. And they'll stop you. And so when you look at how people's mouths place them, whether they're insecure, envious, gossip is such a sin that it's listed with murder. You think it's not serious? It is so serious that if you're married to one, you should be lovingly confronting them, speaking truth to them and saying, no, we no longer are going to speak about people. And when your friends get around you and they take someone on, have you heard, I don't want to talk about people. Is there anything else? And you'll find that gossips have nothing else to talk about. There's nothing in their life that's exciting. There's no vision they got that's exciting. They're not involved in their church enough to be exciting there. Their marriage is not exciting. Their families aren't exciting. They don't have anything. It's unbelievable. And so when you look at words, they place you and they place others. Every time you open your mouth and speak, people are placing you just like you can be placing them.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Do you want to do more than just exist or barely get by? Do you feel unworthy to walk in the power and authority you have in Christ? As a Christian, you have the ability to walk in faith. You just need to learn how. In this series, Supercharge Your Faith, Leon unpacks the forgotten basics of faith. You'll begin to gain an unshakable confidence in your rights as a believer, and will discover the truth about how to build your faith. Start walking in power and rise above every storm with confidence.
Hey everybody, giving is such an act of love and confidence. And I'd love to have you join the family around us giving and financing this program. For a gift of $30 or more, I want to send you this series on Supercharge Your Faith, the things I've learned that have changed my world.
Get your copy of Supercharge Your Faith today.
So, what kind of words are you speaking? Now, we'll go to a verse in a little while that shows you that the Bible says, by your words, you will be judged. You'll be justified. You'll be condemned. So, now that takes place in a number of arenas. In the social world, as you talk amongst your friends, you think that they love the fact you're going to share with them, or you're going to be you're a realist. Yeah, are you kidding me? We can't do that. That's not going to make it in today's economy. And yeah, well, that church is great, but pastor this. And you have no problem talking about people. But when you do, even the gossips around you know you are talking about them. So you're being judged by them. Okay? And you're being condemned. You are not a trustworthy person, even though they love getting together with you, because this is where gossip just takes off. Even though someone who's really hurting, you know, a guy who's in the middle of a divorce loves to talk to divorced men. What's the process? What it's going to be like? What do I can? And people who are going through marriage problems will go talk to a divorced person. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not saying that divorced person can't be a wonderful person, because a lot of times that person is not responsible. Everyone thinks, well, it takes two. No, there are some situations that I've been involved in where I'm telling you, literally almost murder and abuse that goes on. And there's other times, of course, they're both responsible. But when we begin to speak, we want to find somebody to agree with us. And I've refused to find people that I need to agree with my negative talk, my negative thinking. The Bible's very clear that your words, the second they come out of your mouth, there is a judging that's taking place. I believe, according to Psalms, that even the angels, it says, bless the Lord, you as angels, mighty in strength, who obey the voice of his word. Now, we as believers can give voice to the word of God, so that when you want to say, like David's brother, you arrogant little thing, who do you think you are? Go back to your sheep. What are you doing trying to tell us soldiers what to do? Which is kind of what's in context there. And David says, is there not a cause? And then when he gets up and he talks to Saul, he says, I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear. Well, I don't think I can wear your armor. It's not who I am. It's not how I do it. But send me out and I'll go. And then he says to Goliath, I am going to kill you. And he says, you've cursed my God. I'm going to take your head off. He is speaking faith. He is speaking life. That's the kind of speaking that I want to come out of my mouth. And so therefore, I've got to hang with those kinds of people, the kind who they'll look ahead past wherever we are to new things. They've got a vision on the inside that causes them to speak about the next part of their life, the next season of their life. And so we speak out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. So ask yourself, what am I always talking about in my downtime? Well, when I'm around good Christians, I talk there. When I'm around all the gossips, I talk there. Listen, you know, a fountain cannot give forth bitter water and pure water. It's one or the other. And so you've got to make a decision, and you've got to begin to control your words. Your words, once they come out of your mouth, are establishing who you are to the people around you. Now, as well, in the spirit world, they are establishing what the angels can do for you. They recognize faith in the spoken word. Now, the Bible says, don't give the devil opportunity. And so, as a roaring lion, he's walking around seeking speaking, whom he may devour, your words. Satan cannot read your mind, okay? Satan can't just look at you spiritually with x-ray eyes. Satan is waiting to hear what your words are gonna be, because your words are a dead giveaway to what's going on in your heart. And so I really want to establish with you that you need to listen to your words. Every conversation you go into, what do you find yourself doing? Do you find yourself making excuses for your inability to get results? Do you find yourself picking on leaders above you and minimizing them? Do you find yourself enjoying talking about everybody else's heartaches because it makes you feel better? You know, if you compare yourself to grasshoppers, you're higher. If you compare yourself to giants, you feel lower. If you compare yourself, but here's the issue. If you hang around with men and women of faith who refuse to gossip, refuse to speak evil, refuse to disagree with God's word, then something begins to change on the inside of you, because you are learning God's word. The people around you are speaking the principles of God's word. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, that it says that God's word is alive, it's powerful, and it discerns the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. And so as you begin to read the word, as you begin to speak and meditate on God's word daily, a daily diet of the word, it begins to go into the heart and remove the insecurity, remove this thing that actually makes you attracted to this lower level thinking of gossip and judgment and examining the sliver in everybody else's eye. And you go, I am not going there anymore. I've got a timber in my own eye I want to deal with. And so Holy Spirit and His Word is going to continue to grow on the inside of me. And I want crop failure when it comes to my insecurities. I want the deepest beliefs of my heart. I want them changed. And the only thing that can change these deep-seated subconscious beliefs is God's Word. And so I begin to go into God's word. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are people listening to me, and you will never make it because you have surrounded yourself with a bunch of naysayers and gossips and doubters and people who have limited God in their own life. And they're limiting God in your life. David makes a comment in one of the Psalms that he will not have friends who do not believe in his God and choose his God in his victory. And I think that's a very smart thing to do. A lot of people in today's world, they just say, well, he's my friend. And I go, what does that mean? Well, we've grown up together. I'm loyal to my friends. And I'm saying, well, that's great. But now, if somebody is not going to grow with you, are you going to stay back with them? Well, no, okay, then that friendship has to be at arm's length. I've got friends who refuse to follow me in growing up in God. And when I go back and see them, it's the same old from when I was 18, 19 years old. And you get talking to them, and I hear the same stupid beliefs that limited them and their worldview and their thoughts on this and their thoughts on that. And when I'm done having coffee with them once every few years, because I go back to my hometown or whatever, it feels so good to get away from them. And then I just got to get a good teaching message on and listen to the word, and faith rises up and cleans out. You know, the Bible says that the fire of God's word, it burns the chaff from the wheat. And it's like I've just gotten full of unbelief and stuff has hit me. And I just spend time in God's word praying. I spend listening to great, powerful teaching. I just clean all of that off, like taking a shower when your body needs to be cleaned up. In this first part, I'm going to do two parts to this message. But in this first part, I want you to know that by your words, you're being justified or condemned by in the spirit world by both the enemy of our souls and the angels of God. The friendships and the people around you, I very quickly, as I'm looking for leaders and people around me, I very quickly make an assessment. And this, now the Bible says you're not supposed to judge people, but you're not supposed to judge their hearts. But I'm always judging their actions, who their friends are, what they do in their spare time, because that is the way called, that's called the track record, or by their fruits, You will know them. What is their life bearing? Who are their friends in their life? What do they do with their free time in their life? Are they punching out at I'm punched in at 8:30, punched out at 5 o'clock, not an extra minute anywhere for the kingdom of God. It's just a career choice. There's not a heart for the people of God. There's not this, you know, leadership thing. There's a lot of different ways to look at the people around you and ask yourself, are these just Job's comforters? Are these just the 10 spies? Are these just Judases that are keeping me living in fear of money rather than tithing and giving? What is coming out of the people around me, their mouth? And you can place yourself pretty quick. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good beliefs. Who around you is transferring these attitudes? Or are you the culprit that everywhere you go, you're transferring this attitude that you have? So my challenge to you is make sure you understand Hebrews 4:12, that God's word is alive and it will grow new beliefs, new thinking. Faith will come to you and cause you to rise up past the season that you're stuck in, past the level that you're stuck in, and you'll begin to dream and look ahead as to what God can do. You'll talk that way. You'll believe that way. You'll want to get around people who are forward thinking. You know, in my car, my rear view mirror is only this big and the windshield is this big. It's not the forward windshield is this big, but the rear view mirror is this big. I'm not staring at my past. I'm not considering everybody that hurt me and all the failures and all the problems. And you know, we learn from the past, but then we move on and focus on the future. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, that people perish. So this forward thinking, this forward looking, this looking into God's word and then looking at your future saying, I'm going to go do great things for God, is crucial. I want to teach you today one principle, that you are being placed by the words of your mouth. And people are placing you, and you need to learn to place others. And by the way, silence and not saying anything and not speaking up at a crucial time when someone should be defending God's people or defending what's going on and they're just quiet, that's bad as well. I want to be around people that speak up with wisdom, people who literally have decided that my words are going to be like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, that my words are going to be with wisdom. My words are going to confront things. I'm going to speak truth, but it's going to be in love. And my challenge to you in this first of these two messages is place yourself, place the people around you, place the people in your church, place family, and then make a conscious decision to surround yourself, if you need to, with new friends. Give your old friends a chance. Talk to them about this, that I've just decided that I'm not going to talk about people anymore. I feel dirty. I feel yuck. I don't feel full of faith and excitement. I want to talk and dream about where we're going, what we're doing. I will talk with each other about the things going on in our own personal lives, but everybody else, I'm going to leave alone. You know, the Bible says that when a person in the book of Proverbs is getting involved in a situation they shouldn't be, verbally, action-wise, it's like grabbing a dog by the ears. You're gonna get bit. I hope that as you hear God's word, something on the inside of you begins to grow and be strong. When you hear the word of God, it should never make you fearful. God's word and his spirit will never make you worried or anxious. If you read or hear a preacher that it causes anxiety and fear and worry, it's the wrong spirit. Even if he's quoting and reading the word, his doctrine might even be okay, but it's the spirit that is behind it. The Bible says we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. And as you continue to find the messages that we are teaching here and all the teachings, I want you to know, let the Word of God come in and renew your mind. And then as your mind begins to focus on the principles of God's Word, who you are, who Jesus is, who God is, who the devil is, and then what you can do, what your legal rights are. Does it mean when you are in Christ, you are in him? That's your legal rights. But then Christ is in you. Not only now it's not just the legal rights, it's the abilities that you have. You know, it's one thing to say that a policeman has the legal right to stop that car. Okay, he has the legal right to stop a vehicle on the road. Now, the other question is, does he have the ability to stop it? Because if that person chooses to not stop, what can he do? Well, those cars have, they got rumble strips or strips where they can run over spikes. They've got cages built on the front of their vehicle to stop that car. If they have to, they have shotguns and weapons and rifles. They have ability to stop a car if they need to do it as well. And this is the beauty of when you begin to know the new covenant. You'd better understand that it is all anchored around this teaching of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his seated at the right hand of the Father. As you hear his word, it's going to change you. And you're going to realize that not only is there a legal side to my following Christ, there's legal authority I now have, but also Christ is in me, which means there's an authority, that there's a power that flows out of me. I pray that you'll keep following and learning and growing. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, pray this powerful prayer that only you can pray for yourself right now. It goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I choose to make you my Lord, my Savior. Come into my heart, my life. From today and on, I'm following you. Teach me your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. You just started the most exciting journey. Keep following the program.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media.